Hello, everybody. Welcome to another podcast episode of Mysterious Headlines. This is a podcast focused on missing person cases and cases where victims still deserve justice. Today, we're going to be talking about some updates in the Ruby Frankie Jody Hildebrand case. If you are unfamiliar with that case, I highly recommend you go back into my podcast archive. I've done several podcast episodes detailing the specifics of this case, and you can get a lot of great background information regarding everything that has happened up until now. But today we're going to be talking about some specific updates in this case, as both Jody and Ruby had recent hearings in court. So we're going to talk about the outcomes of those hearings and what has happened since. So Ruby, we're going to start with Ruby's hearing, because Ruby's hearing was first early December. And she pled guilty at her hearing, which means she got a plea agreement. And she was initially charged with six counts of child abuse. And they ended up dismissing two of those counts because she pled guilty. So she is now only formally charged with four counts instead of six. And it was a pretty basic hearing. She said that she wanted to plead guilty. They made sure that she was not being coerced to do so, made sure that she was not on any, drugs or under the influence of alcohol, so that she was of sound mind to be able to make that decision. And then it was entered into the court. And afterwards, there was some really interesting information that came out after she pled guilty. So they have reported in documents that her two youngest children, from May of 23 until August of 23, this is what is been documented, her daughter being 9 years old and her son being 11 when the abuse started. I'm going to give a warning now, a trigger warning. What I'm going to talk about is going to be slightly graphic. If you are not in a place to hear graphic details and information about the abuse that occurred, then please, you can pause this episode, you can click away, join me on the next podcast episode. I totally understand that that is very difficult for some people to listen to. So I'm giving you the trigger warning that I'm going to be talking about some specifics of the abuse that was documented and alleged. So her daughter was 9 at the time and her son 11, okay, according to the filing. They say it started with physical torture and later escalated. Initially, the son, 11, was forced to do wall sits, work outside and carry heavy loads up and down the stairs for hours and days at a time. He was eventually forced to remain outside for all hours of the day and night for extended periods, which resulted in serious sunburns. The boy was also denied water for several days while forced to remain in the summer heat, and he was punished if he secretly drank any water. He was also isolated from other people and denied all forms of entertainment. And when he was allowed food, he was given only very plain meals, while others in the home ate very flavorful meals regularly. At some point in July, he tried to escape. And after he tried to escape and they found out that he tried to escape, his hands and feet were regularly bound. Many times he was bound with two sets of handcuffs, one around his wrists and one binding his ankles. Sometimes the two sets of handcuffs were tied together while the boy was on his stomach, effectively hog-tying him. The bindings resulted in injuries to the boy's wrists and ankles, where the handcuffs cut through the skin and damaged the muscle tissue. These injuries were treated with homeopathic remedies and covered with duct tape. So that, if you remember back to when they initially, the son initially escaped and they got arrested, they had found cayenne pepper and honey in the home. And it is believed that they were putting cayenne pepper and honey on these injuries and then putting duct tape over them. Don't know the exact reason. Were they just trying to cover up the injuries, or were they really trying to do something to potentially heal them? They also detailed instances where Frankie said she forced her son's head underwater, cut off his oxygen by smothering him with her hands, and kicked him while wearing boots. The boy was told everything being done to him were acts of love. It also states that the sister, 9 years old, was denied food and water, isolated outside, and forced to do physical tasks. She was injured at least twice because of Frankie's treatment, which included being forced to work outside in the summer heat while barefoot and being forced to run barefoot on dirt roads for an extended period of time. She was also repeatedly told she was evil and possessed, adding that she was convinced the punishments were necessary for her to be obedient and to repent, and these things were being done to help in order to her in order to help her. So this all came out after Ruby Frankie pled guilty. And that is obviously very hard things to hear. Definitely hard to hear. And my heart truly breaks for those kids and what they have gone through. And I hope that Ruby will have to pay the price. And I hope that Ruby will have to spend a significant amount of time in jail. That is unclear yet. There will be another hearing coming up where the judge will determine what her sentence is actually going to be. But again, when someone pleads guilty, they usually take that into account, and usually they will deduct some time off of a sentence if someone is willing to plead guilty. So it will be interesting to see what they decide. This also is her first offense. She's not a serial criminal. She has not committed a crime before. So that is all going to play into it as well, into how much time they actually give her. Now, let's pivot to Jody Hildebrand. Jody Hildebrand had a hearing last week, and Jody Hildebrand also pled guilty. And the document that was released after Jody pled guilty was very similar to the one we just shared about Ruby. And so I'm not going to read all that again. But basically, detailing the same things, that she was a part of all that physical torture that we just went over in regards to Ruby. She was a part of that as well, and she chose to plead guilty. But there's a distinction and a difference here between Ruby and Jody, okay? Obviously, Ruby was the mother of these kids, so Ruby needs to bear the consequences of being their mother and allowing this abuse to happen and participating in this abuse, bar none. I think we can all agree about that. And we all can agree that she needs to serve time. But Jody is different because, one, Jody was not the mother of these kids, although she was allegedly participating in this abuse, which is not okay, and she needs to be held accountable for that. But there is also this aspect of connections, which I've detailed in some other podcast episodes. But connections was how I want to preference it. And this is my putting my opinion on it, a cult within a cult. Because the LDS church as a whole, I think, can in some ways be categorized as a cult. That may be controversial, and I know lots of people that are a part of the LDS church, and I am not trying to badmouth the LDS church, but the framework of the LDS church and the way the LDS church is held up, there are a lot of cult-like resemblances in the LDS church. And that would be a whole other podcast episode that I could go off on. But Connections was truly a cult. And everyone that was a part of Connections, everyone that has come out since their arrests, that has shared about their time in Connections working with Jody and Ruby and any of the other colleagues, have stated that it very much was a cult. And they were coerced to do things that they maybe wouldn't have done on their own. And so the question is, will Jody have to serve more time because she was doing this to so many people? It's going to be unclear, but I think there is going to have to be other people coming forward, stepping forward, saying, yes, I was abused, or my child was abused by Jody specifically, in order for there to be more. And we haven't really seen that yet, but I think in a matter of time we will, because we know how deep Connections ran within the LDS Church. We know how much the LDS Church was promoting Connections. If people were having marital issues, family issues, they were suggesting they reach out to Connections, and they work with Connections for therapy. So we know that Connections was running far and deep and wide within the LDS Church. So it'll be very curious to see moving forward how many people come out of the woodwork and talk about their experience with Connections and Jody. And maybe there will be some further charges coming down the line for other things. But right now, she still has the six counts of child abuse. So we will have to see moving forward. But the last thing that I kind of wanted to touch on here before I end this podcast episode is when we were referencing what was shared in the plea agreement document after Ruby's hearing, it mentioned that the daughter said that she was repeatedly told she was evil and possessed, and that these punishments were necessary for her to be obedient and repent. And these things were being done to her in order to help her. And if any of you have been following my podcast, you may have these red alarms going off in your head right now, thinking, this reminds me so much of Lori and Chad Daybell. And it does. And to me, this was just one ladder rung below. They were conducting abuse towards her children, and Jody was participating in it. But we know the whole Lori Daybell and Chad Daybell case stemmed from them saying the people around them were evil spirits and they needed to be taken care of. And that's almost the exact same thing that is being said here. The 9-year-old was saying she was told she was evil and possessed. And I'm grateful that it didn't get to the level of Larry and Chad Daybell. I am very grateful that these kids are still alive. They can get the help they need. But really, truly interesting that really only one step from the level of Chad and Lori Daybell and turning into a murder case. And I think that as I begin to peel back some of these layers, which I'm going to continue to do with this case, I think I'm going to find more connections between Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrand and Connections and Lori and Chad Daybell. And so we're going to continue to talk about that and look at that as we move forward. But Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrand both pleading guilty for child abuse. Those are the updates for now. As always, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for leaving a review, letting me know what you think, and for subscribing to this podcast so you never miss a podcast episode when it is uploaded. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again soon.